na 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 na
I got it all. It's true, I do. I got it all today, and I've got some announcements to make with people, but I'll do that towards the end of the show because I've got a really fascinating guest on today. I just read the book, Two Among the Righteous Few. I'm almost speechless because it was just so interesting. I was just taken in by the whole experience of the book, and also it's on a personal level with the author, but I'm going to let him explain that. I'm going to open up his mic in a moment. Marty Braunstein, I hope I'm saying it correctly, is an author on a journey with the mission, the courage and compassion to do the right thing, which is what this book really says. And I don't know, I'm still like, I'm taken back. I'm getting like my air in it because it was like when you think people out there do some pretty amazing things every day, but we only hear about the bad stuff. This book is very stirring, and Marty has been doing great things with this book. He's touring. He's a great storyteller, and I think he's listening right now. And you know what? I'm just going to open his mic. Here we go.
Marty, good morning, Nancy. Yes.
Huh?
Good morning.
Oh, look, loved it. Oh, I'm still
thank
reeling.
Thank you much.
Because I'm just like, I'm going like, wow. Wow. And all I kept thinking, how big was that house?
But, it was a good size house.
Let you... It was a good size house. So why don't we begin at the beginning, Marty? First of all, I did love the book. I mean,
Thank you. It was
so stirring, and I know you have a personal relationship to the book. So why don't we begin at the beginning of Two Among the Righteous Few?
Start let me give your listeners a little overview of what this story is all about here. This is the story of a Dutch Christian couple named Frans and Mien Weinacker. And during World War II, when the Netherlands was under the brutal occupation of Nazi Germany, contrary to popular belief, most were not getting involved. They did, and in the end, they saved the lives of over two dozen Jews from certain death. Quite remarkable.
It was so remarkable. Now, tell the audience your personal relationship to the story.
Well, there's a spoiler alert there, so I'm always a little hesitant because as we will get into as I'm coming to New York shortly for some storytelling presentations, this is something I always
– All right, so we won't give it away, but there
but
is –
But I can give you a little hint towards it if I may.
A tease.
Yes,
sure,
yes.
A tease.
Well, Frans and Mien and their rescue activity had a couple things going as this built up. Inside their own house, they often had 8 to 10 Jewish refugees, as well as Frans built a network in his local countryside area where he's getting Jews from children to adults placed. So that's where the over two dozen were in these multiple locations with a bunch in their house. lots of challenges and dangers. And
definitely.
Very much.
I got to tell you, Marty.
Yeah.
I was reading this, and all I kept thinking was, like, this should be a movie. This should be a movie. This is like,
well, thank
it's
you.
Got all the characters to make a great film. And now what's the
And I've been told that
book?
Many times over the last 7 years. We just haven't found the Hollywood connection since I'm not a Hollywood insider.
Well, let me tell you a little story, Marty. I said
sure.
that a few years ago about another book, and somebody was listening, and it was made into a movie. So just
well, I hope,
and
I hope we find the right listener here. Yes, definitely.
And not only was it made into
it
a
comes
movie,
up often
they asked
in,
me to
our,
be in
in
it.
Our presentations.
I was in the movie. So
you were in the
movie.
What was the movie?
It's called Cake, a Love Story, and it turned out to be a half-hour film, and it became an award-winning film. It's on Amazon Prime. But
neat.
Anyway, so just that's the last book I ever said that about. So,
well, good. Well, thank
say.
You. I hope you have the magic touch here. Just, but
and
just
so
to
tell
finish.
Tell me about it, the title.
Yeah, it's just part, oh, to tell you the meaning. Okay. The meaning of the title, Two Among the Righteous Few, the key word in that is the word righteous. And it comes from Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, Israel, the most prominent in the world and the first of its kind. One of the functions of this museum and its educational research work is called Righteous Among the Nations. And that's where the word righteous comes from in the book title. And this is an honor that goes to the non-Jews who, during the course of the Holocaust, risked their own lives to try to help save the lives of Jews. You know, as the title of the book is not Two Among the Righteous Many. It wasn't a lot who did this. And probably the most prominent of the righteous names that most people would be aware of, even if they never knew what term meant, would be Oscar Schindler, thanks to the movies Schindler's List. Well, Franz and Mein Weinacher are two Oscar Schindlers in essence. They too have received the honor of Righteous Among the Nations. And when I stumbled into this story by accident on a trip to the Netherlands in May of 2009 with my wife, Franz and Mien are not alive, but I met their five children, and their son, one of the sons who actually lives in the house where all this rescue activity took place, he still has it, he showed me the picture of the plaque that's in the grounds outside the museum. They call it the Avenue of the Righteous, and when he showed me that, he had said, my wife and I went to Yad Vashem last year. Well, I know the place. I've been there a few times myself, and here's a picture to our parents in the Avenue of the Righteous, which I understood what that meant. You don't get that for just showing up. Something heroic happened here. So that was probably the spark that began, along with the personal connection that I have that I also understand much more today.
But we're not
going to
give away teaser.
Yeah, yes.
Also, now, this was very interesting because they were just, from your book, like I'm guessing, just an average couple who...
That's right.
Oh, darn, you have so many good little things in there. I don't want to give away. Wait a minute. I can't say that part. but if the readers read on, there's an interesting beginning that has to do with the crucifix that I like.
Yes.
It sort of set it up for me. Like,
good.
It was the first tick of the clock for me, the tick of the morality clock in that
yes.
tick. And set it off for me where you get to see how strong these people were, that there was a personal integrity to this couple that was so unusual.
Yeah, and I'll even add a little bit more to that. Yeah, to that scenario that you've picked up that's early in the story, because this is before the war's even begun. This is when this is a house that's a rental that they come into that had been owned by the Dutch Reform Church, which is the Protestants in an area that's primarily Catholic.
And that's when... Might explain too, Marty, that the church at one time owned a lot of property. Listeners,
yes.
If you don't know that they were realtors, basically.
Yeah,
every
yes.
church,
and
every...
so here's two renters, but common in that area was, as Mean inquired with a neighbor, you have the local parish priest come give you a blessing. And his name is Father Simons. And in that time period, and especially in the countryside area, that's the number one authority figure. And as you pick up in there, early on when he realizes he knows that this was a former parsonage of the Protestant faith, he's not too happy about why is this Catholic couple even living here. And the way Franz responds to that is the beginning of While everyone would be deferential to this parish priest, Franz has a way to just kind of stand up to him without creating a confrontation, maybe a little irritation. During the course of the rescue activity, because
it is,
which the priest didn't like, of course. And Franz had that sense of humor, that this will actually be one of their thorns in the local area, because in time, Father Simons is going to find out what is happening. And he's not pleased at all when he finds out that they're helping hide Jews, because he just worries about himself and the danger
that could bring.
Yeah,
that was a very interesting, I like that little pigment you added to the story, because it sets off the story. Well,
that's
for
right.
me it did. It set off the story of
the
righteous
And you'll
Jew.
See that tension carry throughout, that this will always be a challenging person. Luckily, he doesn't betray his parishioners, but he's not somebody you can always feel comfortable with.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, and that's what I mean. Marty, when I'm reading the book, I was casting it in my head. And I was going, very good. You know, it would be really good in this part. You know, it would be very good in this part. So I was in my head, I was doing it. And,
yes, very good.
It's very interesting that they, you know, the way they became involved, and I don't want to give away, there's so many twists and turns here. I don't want to give that away. And
I can touch if you want briefly about how
they got involved.
Because interesting, they're not true with all people who've gotten that honor of righteous among the nations, but for many, just like Franz and Mean, it was not by design that they got involved. It was just a call for help. And Franz innocently said, sure. Where most people in that time period would not. They would have either said no or turned them into the authorities. So here they just thought,
it's
the right thing to do,
I
guess. We're just helpful people. We'll help. And then it took off.
It wasn't even like it's Jewish and Christian. It's this or that. It's just, we're people. What do you need?
Yes.
Humanity. That's the great part about it.
You hit it very well. Humanity was speaking to them.
Yeah, and also because I almost feel like the house is a secondary role to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe the house?
Pardon me?
Could you describe it? Describe the house.
The house was two stories, and people come get the book. You'll see we have in the book a picture of the house in the 1940s and a picture of the house today, which is very different. Same spot. But it was a good-sized house. It had two stories, an attic. And so they could fit a lot of people in there. One of the challenges, only one bathroom. Because once they really filled up the house, that's always going to be a challenge. So it was spacious enough. But certainly and they had four little kids of their own on top of all this. And then you have 8 to 10 Jewish refugees in the house commonly at the height of this. It was crowded. People weren't on top of each other. There was enough from bunks and, you know, cots and sleep
and
on the couch that they could do it.
There was a basement?
Pardon me?
There was a basement?
No basement.
Oh, that's right. What am I thinking? Yes.
Especially
water
in the Netherlands, you'd be worried about water flooding the basement anyway. Too much water around there.
Which makes it even more that there is no basement in the house. Makes it even more like a challenge.
It was a large living room. That's what they used a lot to just let people sleep at night. Large living room, because even prior to the rescue activity, they took in a group of Dutch soldiers before the war as they're getting ready, and Dutch soldiers were getting ready in this area, and they were willing to allow to house in. And at the height of that, they even had like 30 soldiers sleeping in their house. So they could have the room. You know, it's snug quarters. So it works.
And they were a little bit... I was thinking they were a little bit, not a little bit, it almost seemed like a lot, persecuted before, just for being the kind of people that they were.
No, they weren't themselves, no. They lived a,
no,
as
but
you
I mean,
picked
there were things like the incident with the shutters. You know what I'm saying? The incident, you know, why weren't their windows closed?
And that was
that
all just due to conditions in the war. About certain things. So it just showed that Franz and Mean at times in the early stages were maybe a bit naive, and certainly a little bit innocent with all of this, but obviously they learned and they became very careful in time. So they themselves weren't persecuted. They had a nice life, you know, they're just part of that whole area. And they had never met a Jewish person in their life prior to getting involved in this rescue activity, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, so Marty, I don't know if you have the book nearby, but
yes.
Did you choose a passage? Yes, that would be great. Because I want,
I'm
gushing a little bit, but I want people to get the flavor for what I read. So
yes.
If you could.
I've got a passage here. I'm going to read a couple pages out of it. And let me set it up so your audience knows. One of the things, and interesting in the honor of Righteous Among the Nations, the plaque says Franz and Hermina, means full name, mean for short, Weinacker. It was them together, and it wasn't just him. And I take this inside schools. We get into the book discussions where the students have read the book. We often will talk about the character of Mean, this woman, very unusual for the 1940s. This was a strong woman. And this passage I'm about to read is when this wealthy Jewish woman, it's in the early months of summer 1943, and that's the height of the deportations. And she knows, she's part of the Jewish council, so they're going to be last on the list. They don't know that yet. But she senses that time is coming, and so she wants to get into hiding, and through various kinds of rumors, had heard about the Weinachers, so was able to take a train ride. And comes out to the Weinachers one day to visit with Franz and Mean, and is interesting in renting space from them. And then you're going to see Mean's response to this whole situation. So here we go. The woman from Amsterdam came on Sunday. She conversed pleasantly with Franz and Mean about the current state of affairs and how life was in Amsterdam. The three ate in a room next to the Moss Dyke, that's the river near them. The Jewish children ate in another room. Mean had asked the children to stay there and keep her own children with them. There's two Jewish children who are in their house now. After the meal, the woman said to Mean, "Madam, could I rent a room from you? You will get a lot of money for it. One room is enough for us. Then we will send some furniture here. I don't know if it's necessary. My husband is always saying that we can stay where we are. He was a German officer in the last war, but I don't trust the situation, so we want to be stored here." Hiding was often referred to as being store. "It will be difficult to give you a private room, but we are willing," Mean answered. "What would it cost per year or per month?" "We just don't know yet," Mean replied. The woman continued, "Some people think the war will end this year, but I don't think that. Likely it'll be 1944 or 45, but Hitler will lose. How about I pay 20,000 guilders for the rest of this year and 1944, and then we'll see further. The money's in a bank in Switzerland. Is there a notary here?" "Yes, in Ravenstein," Franz answered. "Then we can have the notary draw up the papers to complete this legally," the woman announced. At that moment, the Weinacher's daughter, Nellie, a little girl of 4 years old, came into the room. "This is our daughter, our oldest," Mean told the woman. Then Tice, one of their sons, entered the front room. Mean then said to both children, "You have to stay in the other room." And then Freitje and Fritje came in to get the children. When the woman heard the two older children speak a little bit to Nellie and Tice, she spoke up and said, "Those are Jewish children, aren't they?" Franz and Mean nodded their heads to say yes. "I can detect these children are German by their accent. You don't know what you have in your house. It is extremely dangerous." "What do you mean?" asked Mean. "My husband and I are intelligent adults," the woman continued. "We won't look through windows and would never stand in front of one either. You can tell children something like this, and in 5 minutes they forget. They'll start playing and we'll get in front of a window without even knowing it. People, you are playing a deadly game." Franz and Mean said nothing as they took this all in. "You have to listen," the woman pleaded. "You probably got these children from someone in Amsterdam. They have to leave before we come here. Otherwise, we won't come." She kept insisting. Mean went to get tea. And at the door of the kitchen, she turned around and firmly said, "Madam, listen. You can come when you want to, but the children stay. They have already been here a while. We will not send them away." The woman responded, "But madam, the children are not too much for me. It's just too much too dangerous for us and also for you. The people where the children came from will know of some other way to help them. Children are much easier to place than us adults." "Send the children away? I won't do it. I cannot do it," Mean responded firmly. The woman said then, "Madam, I can't do anything about that, but I think then it's best we do not come here." They didn't, and they were later transported away by the Nazis. And I always like that scene because it demonstrates the backbone and the strength that Mean had. And she was really the backbone of the whole rescue operation for Franz.
Yeah, it was like almost there's a quiet fortitude about the couple. A quiet fortitude that they were just so strong as a natural part of their essence and their karma and their aura that it was part of them. Not to question, this is just the right thing to.
Yes.
And not to give. I'm not going to give it away, but in another part of the book, I think somebody threatened something, and Mean shot back with what she would do to them if they did.
Her own brother. Yes.
Yeah.
In case if he ever said anything to anybody.
I wasn't going
to
give it away.
Yes. Yeah. No, but you picked up as that. In that one, and especially in book discussions with this, where of course the students or adults have read it. This is so unusual for a woman of the 1940s. Much more you're expected to be submissive and defer to your husband.
Yes.
And she had this real strength and real firmness to her that you picked up on that said, you know, she's going to stand right with him, and she's going to be the one that keeps driving this. And Franz knew he never would, and he appreciated that.
Not going to back down.
Yeah, and he appreciated that.
Not going to back down, and without even having, they didn't even have to explain themselves. They never explained themselves. And there are all kinds of twists and turns and near misses and in the book. And like, what are they going to do? situation.
Very good.
Which I think readers will enjoy. So tell us about where you'll be doing your readings and where can they get the book, most important.
Yes. Well, let's talk. I'll do the first question there. So I'm coming to the greater New York City area for three storytelling presentation events, and then one's a conversation program. But I will be Sunday, May 20th at 4 p.m. at St. James the Less Episcopal Church in Scarsdale, New York. And then the other two storytelling presentations will be in Manhattan, Wednesday evening, May 30th at 6:30 at Stephen Wise Free Synagogue on 30 West 68th Street. And then the next evening on May 31st at 6:15 at Seward Park Library, 192 East Broadway in New York. The conversation program is through an organization, so they'd have to contact them to see if they could come as a guest. And it's going to be more like you and I are doing, if talking about the story.
Uh-huh.
And more so in this, we're going to be talking about its lessons that are so relevant for today. That's what brought this event. And it's through the Aspen Institute Society of Fellows program, which will be held at the Harvard Club in New York City, 35 West 44th Street on May 24th at 6.
But now, is this information available on your website? Because if it is,
yes.
Please give your website.
So my website is www.martyabrownstein.com. And Brownstein is B-R-O-U-N-S-T-E-I-N. And if they go on the website, they can also, there's a link that they can hit that'll get them to directly to my publisher if they want to purchase the book, as well as certainly it's found on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, both in print and ebook versions.
Okay, and Kindle as well, right?
Yeah, so that ebook is for Kindle or Nook or whatever
device
one has.
Yes, for download. So it's available for download as well. If
yes.
you wanted to get it as soon as possible, that's
yes.
where you would go.
Exactly.
To pick it up. And, it really is a really fascinating book. I love that you found photos, even just to personalize it even more. So
yes.
I highly recommend this to people.
Thank you.
If you get a chance to, I tell you, I'm casting it in my head. I was like, you know, this guy, he's kind of like Glorious Bastards and a little of this movie and a little of that movie. It's got all these elements to it. I'm already going like,
So you got to find me the producer and the director now so we can get this done the right way. And the neat thing about this story is this one's true. So this is not fiction. This is a real-life story of two real heroes, not the misuse of the word in the American culture about heroes. These real people did something to save other people's lives.
Amazing, amazing. Two among the few.
The righteous few.
And you pronounce it Brownstein? The righteous
Brownstein,
few.
Brownstein, like the color brown with a stein on it.
Okay, Two Among the Righteous Few by Marty Brownstein. And if you just Google Two Among the Righteous Few, it's going to come up because I Googled it. And but it's great. And MartyBrownstein.com for more information, or if you'd like to book him for one of your events, contact him or the agency or through his events. I don't know if you have a manager, but anyway, and it's just a fascinating read. I hope it does make it into movie. Marty, believe it or not, we are down to our last 4 minutes. So is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'll add is that, and I appreciate your reaction because that's what's kept the journey with this going. I am now 7 years into sharing this story. I'm here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've I'm coming to the New York City area for a speaking series for the fourth time. The start of June, we'll go to Boston for the first time. That'll be my 14th metropolitan area. And right now I'm finishing up here in the Bay Area at 630 events and counting as we speak in a wide variety of places, from places of faith to I was in a workplace last week. I'm going to be doing something in schools, libraries, all sorts of events. You know, I've done in so many places, churches and so forth. So I never would have expected it. But because people, and you've picked up on it very well, Nancy, is that people say, thank you for this inspirational story. And I even hear more in the last 2 years, thank you for this story with positive values, people doing the right thing, because we need to hear more about that today than ever before, because sometimes we lose sight of that in this country. And that kind of comment or related comment comes up even more in the last 2 years. So, okay, I keep going with it, and because people say
this
story is too important not to keep telling it.
Oh, it's wonderful. I hope you do make it to the movies. And thank you for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Marty. And okay.
You're most welcome.
Two among the righteous few. Thank you. All right. I'm going to turn off your mic now. Thank you for calling in. Everybody check it out. And I'll go out with my brief promos that I have, but it's a great book. Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Thank you. And I want to say, I could tell you, you got to read this book. It is pretty good. It's just a great story. What can I say? I just last 2 minutes, Nancy. That's what you could say. It's the last 2 minutes. So I'll go out with a little music and promo. Okay. I thought this song was appropriate. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. I love this song. And also Brooklyn Heights Comedy Night. You want to check that out. Now, I picked this song, Hava Nagila. If you haven't heard it, you've heard it at the bar mitzvah, whatever. But I love the lyrics, and I thought it went well with the book. And it's really, let's rejoice and be happy. Let's sing and be happy. Awake, awake, my brothers, with a happy heart. Awake, my brothers, with a happy heart. So it just goes with it so well. And very interesting. You can find it on Amazon as well. MartyBrownstein.com. Check it out. Very, very interesting story. I hope it makes it to the movie. It's a great movie. Great, let's just enjoy the music now. This has been your host, Nancy Lombardo, on What's the Buzz? That's my buzz today. Two a month, so much to do. What is wrong? There you go. Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget, few among the righteous few.
Two Among the Righteous Few. Check it out. Okay. Big kiss. Bye-bye.